Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, no snow days for us. Probably no snow days for you either. But that's all right. That's a snow day. We're just still have to show up for work. Yeah, a lot of area schools are shut down today, some in parts of Montana, because of all the snow that's coming in. I can only tell you what I've seen out at my front door. After about 8 o'clock last night, I thought, well, you know what? I get up at 0:30. My neighbors probably don't want to hear the snow blower running at 0:30. So I'll go out there. There was a brief pause in the snowfall. I'll go out there and clear the sidewalks, cleared the driveway. And by 0:30 this morning, you wouldn't know that I did anything a little after 8 o'clock last night. So that's how much more snow fell in my neck of the woods. How much has fallen in your neck of the woods? You can tell us. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Or, hey, here in just a few minutes, we're going to have the National Weather Service office out of Billings. They cover, you know, all the way from Livingston to the North Dakota border. And then they also have a good read on what's going on at the other National Weather Service offices. The Missoula office that covers more western Montana, the Great Falls office covering more that Golden Triangle area, and then, of course, the Northeast Montana office there in Glasgow as well. So we'll talk temperatures, we'll talk snowfall, and much more. How long is this deep freeze going to sit in? I wonder, are the protesters still out in front of the Metra in Billings? Are they? If any of you are driving to work today and you don't have a snow day, could you drive by the Metra for me? And just tell us if there's any protesters standing out front. There was a tiny amount of them on Saturday morning. I saw some of you took some photos and were like, yeah, there was some tiny little protest. You couldn't even read their signs to know what they were whining about. But that was the Friends of the Drug Cartels. That's what I'm calling them. The Friends of the Drug Cartels staged a small little protest where they were chanting, "No justice, no peace." Really, are they threatening violence in Billings, Montana? Because they don't want to see these criminal illegal aliens deported. That's sure what it sounds like to us. Anyway, what a joke, especially when you see some of the arguments coming out of these virtue signaling leftists. I'm going to call them the Friends of the Drug Cartels, the Friends of the people who are targeting our reservation communities in particular as they stand up for illegal aliens. But are they out there protesting today? Or is today their climate change rally? Is today the global warming rally? Are they doing that one instead? Are they out at the natural gas power plant in Laurel protesting that? Did the climate kids behind the Held v. Montana lawsuit, are they protesting global warming in the natural gas power plant in Laurel today? Are they protesting out in Colstrip today? Of course they aren't. Of course they aren't. They're probably getting in a good ski day. Especially if they don't have school, they're like, hey, let's go skiing instead. You know the skiing that they can't afford because of global warming and the Held v. Montana lawsuit. What a joke that was. What a mockery of our court system here in Montana. Our Montana Supreme Court has become. All right, we'll talk snowfall, the deep freeze, temperatures, and much more with the National Weather Service right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With areas of light snow across the area today, accumulations from 2 to up to 4 inches expected around the region. High temperature readings will stay in the single digits above zero. For tonight, we'll see areas of light snow with another inch or so possible around the area. Low temperature readings will range around zero. Then we'll see more light snow showers Tuesday with additional accumulations expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
2 weeks into the new Trump presidency, members of the president's administration say his goal to secure the border is making significant progress. Border czar Tom Homan on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
The crossings on the border down 93%.
Some have been surprised by the tariffs enacted by the president against Canada for a lack of help on the northern border. But Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, appearing Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press, said the Canadians have work to do.
We have people coming into our country from China, from foreign countries. We have people on the terrorist watch list that come in over our northern border.
Noam also described some of the people who have been deported thus far, saying many had warrants for crimes such as murder, rape, and assault. And at this point, no one should be surprised.
The president has been very clear from the beginning that there's a new sheriff in town, that he's going to make sure he's putting Americans first.
Kip Uretzky, Fox News.
So there's more to this story about another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the jail in Bozeman, Montana. I started asking the question, how many people are in the jail in Bozeman on an immigration hold? There's a dozen of them. I got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, speaking of Bozeman, this is a must-see memorial in honor of fallen U.S. Marines is coming to Montana State University. Photos and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. We've got Logan Torgerson with the National Weather Service office in Billings on the phone lines with us here. Obviously, they cover south central, parts of southwest, and then all over to southeast Montana. But I think they have a good sense of what's going on all across the state of Montana here on this Monday morning. Logan, thanks for being with us. What are some of the top lines you're seeing and hearing this morning?
Yeah, some of the things we're seeing, the cold, coldest area right now is kind of along the Front Range up by Cutbank and kind of along the High Line. Seeing some negative low 20s in the area. Other than that, just the snow across the region. Getting some good reports, 30-some inches of snow in the Cook City area. And just pretty good snowfall across most of southeast Montana. And as we move into throughout the day and into tonight, it'll slowly shift to the north. So places like Great Falls and Glasgow will start getting some snow as well.
Any snow totals thus far? I think there was, a couple of inches heading into Sunday evening and then a lot more in the overnight as well.
Yeah, here at our office in Billings, we're sitting at about 5 inches, which seems we've certainly gotten some higher numbers, people saying they've gotten more than that. So maybe we're kind of a low spot here in town, but we haven't gotten too many reports yet. We'll start to get more of those in throughout the day because we'll still be accumulating snow today, so we'll probably start getting some storm totals in tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like we've already got some wind chills, minus 15, minus 25 across some of your neck of the woods. How long is this deep freeze, this deep cold gonna set in? It was kind of funny. Saturday morning I was coming home from the gym and passed a car wash, and the car wash was busy. It was a sunny, beautiful morning, almost 50 degrees, and there were little kids in shorts and t-shirts out there standing on a snow pile throwing snow at each other. And then here we are. It looks like the high and the lows could be in the negative single digits in the Billings area in particular.
Yeah, that's correct. We're not going to warm too much today. As far as the coldest of the days, it'll last through Wednesday. Once we get to Thursday, we'll start to warm up quite a bit, maybe high teens, maybe into the 20s here in Billings. But past that, we're going to be in a cold pattern for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Not seeing any big warm-ups, but certainly it's not going to stay as cold as it's going to be the next few days.
Yeah, interesting. I was almost going to ask about next week as well, because this week I'll be in studio, and then the week after that we'll eventually head to Glendive for the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo, and you never know what the weather's going to be like during the gate show, but you know the food's going to be good and the people are going to be good, so we make the trip regardless. What are you hearing from some of the other National Weather Service offices across the state? I know there's schools closed in the Billings area. There's been some some road impacts, highway impacts as well.
Yeah, certainly most of the impact for parts of northern Montana will come a little later as the system kind of shifts north. That's when they'll get the bulk of their snow, but we're looking at a good chunk of Montana getting 5 to 10 inches of snow from this.
Yeah, it looks like I was checking in on the Montana weather hashtag on X and National Weather Service office in Great Falls talking about overnight temperatures. Let's see. Looks like cold advisories and warnings are in effect for much of north central Montana through Tuesday with overnight temperatures as low as the teens below zero and wind chills as low as minus 20 to minus 40 during the coldest period. So that's sounds like that's the next 24 in places like Cut Bank and elsewhere across north central Montana.
Yeah, even here, you know, we have some cold weather advisories out. Coldest wind chills we were seeing across the area from Judith Gap to the Ingomar, you know, northern Rosebud areas. We had some minus 30 wind chills out there.
Yeah. Let's see. And then I know, in fact, we just got a phone call from a rancher in the Glasgow, Montana area on a Friday's show, and he was saying, God, they could really use some moisture. So for people like that in northeast Montana, the moisture will head their way later today, it sounds like, which is kind of odd. Usually when you get this cold of weather, you don't typically get the snow with it, right?
Yeah, so this is a pattern. We call it an overrunning, which basically means that the cold air is very shallow, and the air a little bit higher in the atmosphere is quite a bit warmer. So we're basically getting a lot of moisture sent our way from the Pacific, a very persistent band of moisture, and it sets up a very good pattern for heavy snow.
Yeah, I just checked at the National Weather Service office in Glasgow saying that for their neck of the woods, the heaviest snow on Tuesday will be in Petroleum County, and I know we've got folks in Petroleum County listening to us right now through KBUL Billings, with the High Line receiving the bulk of the snow on Wednesday. All right. Well, Logan Torgerson, greatly appreciate your update this morning. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we run out of time?
No, I think that's about it. Fun day of weather out there for us.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, everybody. Make sure you're packing your cold weather gear bag with gloves and everything like that, and take it easy out there. All right, drive safe. Hey, we appreciate it very much, all the work of the National Weather Service offices across the state. Thanks for your time here in the opening segment of the show this morning, getting the good info out right out the gates. All right, we'll get to your farm and ranch report and more right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What will tariffs do to the economy? You'll find people who answer that question with a shrug, and others who will answer with a number. Perhaps the real answer is somewhere in between. But in the daily barrage of tariff details bandied about, one thing is certain, and that is the amount of uncertainty has increased markedly. In the boxing ring or playing a poker game, creating uncertainty might be a winning strategy. But for economic management, creating an environment for forward-looking investment, it's toxic. Even if tariffs never ultimately happen, and the odds of that are very low, the saber-rattling rhetoric has already done damage. Countries and companies everywhere are preparing for a trade war. They're directing resources into stockpiling imports and reviewing how they source their products throughout their supply chains. Countries are busy studying the best ways to retaliate. Those actions may be prudent, but collectively they're a deadweight loss. And these losses are occurring even if the sabers are never actually drawn. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The oldest member of the Senate is 91-year-old Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley. He's now the Senate President pro tem, the most senior member of the majority party, fourth in line to the presidency, and chairman of the Judiciary Committee. That means that President Trump is banking on Grassley to tackle immigration and border security, weeding out the so-called deep state, confirming his nominees for the federal bench, and maybe ushering a Supreme Court justice to confirmation should a vacancy occur. That's why some Senate Republicans privately question whether Grassley is the right person for the job, too old to execute the president's agenda. The conversation about age and politics is an old one, but it's amplified after questions about the mental acuity of President Biden. For instance, former Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Kay Granger now lives in an assisted living facility. There were health problems for former Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Grassley won an eighth Senate term in 2022, but he also had hip surgery in 2023, and he was hospitalized for an infection in 2024. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
RUT Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordblond. Several headlines to share with you here this morning. By now, of course, you have heard that President Donald Trump has implemented a 25% tariff on imports from Canada and Mexico, along with a 10% tariff on Chinese goods, citing economic and border security concerns. A mixed reaction coming from farm and ranch country to the news of the tariffs that many knew were coming for quite some time. Grain and livestock markets reacted very cautious this past Friday, with some prices falling just a tad. The American Farm Bureau, along with Farmers for Free Trade, cautioned that the tariffs could pressure farmers if trading partners increase pressure, while supporters argue that the tariffs will strengthen U.S. trade leverage. One of those supporters is House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson, calling tariffs a crucial tool in leveling the playing field, and criticized the Biden administration's handling of agricultural trade. Canada and Mexico, key buyers of U.S. ag products, are considering responses. Mexico, the top importer of U.S. corn and pork, may issue counter tariffs, while Canada, a major supplier of potash, oil, and other commodities, has pledged reciprocal action if necessary. Farmers and ranchers are no doubt watching the situation unfold very closely. Now looking to news related to the tragedy that took place in our nation's capital last week over the Potomac. Southern Kansas farmers Bob and Lori Schrock were among the 67 victims of American Eagle Flight 5342 that had a collision with a Black Hawk helicopter in Washington, D.C. DTN reports the Schrocks, who operate a premium grain, a canola and wheat farm near Kiowa, Kansas, were traveling to visit their daughter at Villanova University. Recognized for their traceable high-quality grain production using modern technology, friends and family described them as God-fearing people that would do anything for anyone. Again, we would just like to share our thoughts and prayers with everyone impacted by this tragedy.
The K2 Red Angus Winter Bowl and Female Sale is Thursday, February 6th at the K2 Sale Barn in Wheatland, Wyoming. Offering 100 head of K2 Red genetics raised to work in a real-world range environment. Functional, fertile, and efficient, K2 Red Angus selects for foot, leg, and udder structure while maintaining a focus on profitability and real-world carcass merit. K2 bowls are always pap-tested and always guaranteed. Broadcast live on DV Auction. Lunch at noon, sale at 1. Visit K2RedAngus.com for a catalog and directions.
Ranchers, calving is one of the most important times on your ranch. So give yourself a little peace of mind and let Western Ranch Supply be your calving headquarters. Hi, this is Shane. From calf sleds and calf warmers to colostrum, electrolyte solutions, and milk replacer, after all, profitability starts with a live calf. We also have the largest selection of ear tags at the best prices around. Western Ranch Supply, your calving supply headquarters. 7305 Entryway Drive in Billings, or online at westernranchsupply.com.
This week, Russell Nimitz and I, along with the Western Ag Network crew, are in San Antonio, Texas for CattleCon 2025. And one of the big discussion items this week will definitely be this past Friday's January 1st cattle inventory report. USDA says that the size of the U.S. cattle herd is down 1% compared to a year ago at 86.7 million head. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell.
All cows and heifers that have calved is estimated to be 37.2 million head. That's about unchanged, down fractionally from where it was last year. The beef cows make up 27.9 million head, which is down 1% from last year. The report also indicated that the calf crop in 2024 was 33.5 million head. That's about unchanged from what it was in 2023. And that the number of cattle on feed was 14.3 million head, which is down 1% from last year.
We'll take a look at the inventory changes on the state level during our midday ag report. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Ah, yes, all the pearl clutching over tariffs. Isn't this, we've heard this song before. We've seen this script before. We know how the play ends. I mean, it's not like this is the first time we've seen nor heard this from President Donald J. Trump. Yet look at all the pearl clutching. Justin Trudeau. My goodness, Canada can't get rid of that guy fast enough, can they? It sounds like, I was just listening briefly to Kevin O'Leary. He's that Shark Tank guy. I don't know much about him. Anyway, you see him talking business a lot. But anyway, Kevin O'Leary, that Shark Tank guy, he's actually Canadian, don't you know? And he was saying, look, hey, the premier of Alberta, she actually went down and talked to President Trump. So part of the reason why the tariff on energy is a little bit lower than all the other tariffs that President Trump is going to put into effect in order to help secure our borders from what, you know, Justin Trudeau has been responsible for as well. Joe Biden's responsible for it. Justin Trudeau is responsible for it. These failed border policies, the invasion of fentanyl and meth and illegal aliens and drug cartels and more. And that's why President Trump is threatening these tariffs. But it's going to be lower on energy. And that's because, well, Alberta's premier, she's trying to work with President Trump. But unfortunately, Canada still has just this failed national government in place with Trudeau and the rest of them at this point. But you know, all this pearl clutching over, oh, the tariffs are going to lead to calamity and chaos. Didn't you guys say that after President Trump got elected the first go around? And we saw what President Trump did that worked across the board. In fact, this very strategy that he's talking about is already working in a number of different ways. But before I get into that, into several of the victories from over the week, you know, President Trump is delivering so many victories and his team is delivering so many victories right now. It's hard to keep up with it, isn't it? I got to go back. I got to look at some of the things I tweeted out on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got to look at some of the articles that caught my eye as I was, you know, reading the news and, you know, trying to, you know, stay engaged on social media. I know I should have just taken the weekend off, but let me tell you one thing that's interesting that caught my eye here. This was a tweet from Sadie_NC. When Canada talks about cutting off oil to America, let me break this down for you. Below is a map of the pipelines that carry energy for Canada. As you can see, many come into America. The one you need to pay attention to is the Energy East line. So yeah, the energy flows from Alberta through Saskatchewan down into the United States, and then it goes back into Eastern Canada. So if Eastern Canada wants their Western Canada oil, it's got to flow through America first. Well, that one will be interesting, won't it? Anyway, back after this fight. Thumbs up if we got that soundbite. He's got it ready to roll here. So this was a post on X. Hand me that paper again. I'm operating out of Caden Studio here for a second this morning. Okay, here we go. This is from Rapid Response 47 on X. This is Senator Eric Schmidt. I think he's out of Missouri. He was on Meet the Press on NBC yesterday. And here's what he had to say, you know, again, with this, hey, we've seen this play out before. We know how this plays out. Here's Senator Schmidt from Meet the Press.
All we have to do is look at President Trump's first 4 years. We institute tariffs. We didn't see inflation. In fact, we saw record wage growth. We saw $200 billion plus go into the Treasury from those tariffs that help even the playing field with countries who've been ripping us off, quite frankly, for generations. China specifically. I think the American people are tired of being ripped off. They're tired of seeing their jobs go overseas. But I think these tariffs specifically, Kristen, are meant to bring Canada and Mexico to the table for the fentanyl that is streaming into our communities. It's also worth noting in the last 4 years that the trade imbalance, our trade deficit, has gone up 200%+ with Canada and up 52% with Mexico. The fact is, these countries are taking advantage of us. All along the while, we've got fentanyl streaming into our country. Yeah. So Mexico has a choice. They can choose to trade with the United States or continue to cozy up with the cartels. It's pretty simple.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was, again, Senator Eric Schmidt on MSNBC's Meet the Depressed. Well, it's technically it's NBC, not MSNBC, but is there really a difference anymore? There's not. Hey, let me tell you where I am seeing a difference. You know, our buddy Tim and Savage, man, he's been publicly sharing his story. He's been going through Billings' last diet. He hit his goal. He lost 75 pounds. He burned through 75 pounds of fat thanks to Billings' last diet. He's using the remote option. He's out there on the Mondakistan border. And he sent me a message, what, a week or two ago. He said, you know what? I'm going to lose another 10 pounds. I'm going to keep going. Why not? Anyway, I was doing my annual diet tune-up through Billings Last Diet just to shed off a few pounds. And I thought, you know what, why not go for one more week? Because, you know, you can hit your goal and you can be like, okay, this is good right where I'm at. But why not shed off a little bit more? Then you got a little bit of wiggle room, you know, with the Super Bowl coming up and then Valentine's Day and then it's Easter and then before you know it. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. I was like, you know what? If Tim can go 10 more pounds, I'm going to go for one more week. And I tell you what, I'm feeling great. You enter ketosis, you're firing on all cylinders, and you just see that weight getting just totally just shredded off. Even if it's just a few pounds or it's 85 pounds, it's incredible to see. Tim and Savage, thanks for sharing your story. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751 so you can take advantage of either the in-person option if you're in the Billings area or take advantage of that remote option because it is working. Okay, I've got a stack. I want to just highlight, 3 to 5 big wins by President Trump. We'll start there right after the break. Plus, phone lines are open for you. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. Good. I found it. I was like, hey, Kate, man, how can we find this? There was one audio clip that I wanted to find for you guys this morning. Sometimes these audio clips are getting easier and easier to find. You know, the Trump War Room does an incredible job. Rapid Response 47 does an incredible job. But there was this one, and I heard it on Fox and Friends at like Dark 30 this morning. So the Democrats had their national leadership elections this weekend where they chose their party leaders. And they, of course, they put David, is it Hogg or Hogue, you know, the gun control activist. And he's such a climate alarmist that he's pledged that he doesn't want to have kids because he'd rather have like a Porsche and I forget what other things, all these materialistic things. He says having all these other materialistic things are more important and would be better off for the environment than having children. And I think a lot of you are saying, man, you know, with the current state of your state of mind, it's probably better if you're not reproducing anyway. But they put that nut job in a national leadership position. So kind of like how the Montana Democrats elevated a gun control climate alarmist activist to be the Democrat candidate for governor. The Democrats did not get the message from the 2024 November elections, and they just put a gun control climate woke alarmist activist in a national leadership position. And then the other guy is some wacko leftist from Minnesota. No, not Tim Walz, but somebody just like Tim Walz. So apparently they're saying, hey, we really love that strategy that cost us the White House, the Senate, and Congress in 2024. Yeah, let's do more of that. Kind of like the Montana Democrats. They obviously didn't get the message because their, you know, unelected party leader, their de facto party leader is Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender activist that wants to be able to chop body parts off of kids out of Missoula. So the Montana Democrats obviously didn't take the hint either. So that's all right. They can keep going down that crazy path. And now they've got their left-wing activists out there protesting. Well, they're not out there today, I don't think, in front of the Metro protesting today. But when it was a nice sunny Saturday morning, they were out there with like a small handful of them and their phony little staged left-wing protest. More on that here. If not this hour of the show, we'll get into it here later this morning because I think there's some interesting takeaways that I want to share with you. Right on, John and Bozeman sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. He says this, on a positive note, with the cold and the snow on our high line, they will get the much-needed moisture, which flip-flop, flat-top can't stop. Farmers will be happier and much more once we open the spigots to up the groundwater and water supply for the summer. Yeah, that moisture is desperately needed up there in northeast Montana, so they'll be happy to see that snow moving in over the next 48 hours or so. Let's talk about several of the wins racked up. you know, the fear campaign over tariffs that the media is already running with this morning. We mentioned that, but let's talk about all just a whole host of victories that we're seeing. You know, just like they're trying to undermine President Trump, getting tough on Trudeau, getting tough on the cartels in Mexico with these tariffs. They tried to undermine him when he started talking tough with Panama over the Panama Canal. And then all these LGBT, RST, LNE activists on the left. Why aren't they celebrating a guy named Rick Grenell? I haven't seen any of the leftists on X celebrating Rick Grenell. Anyway, let me just, here's like, what, 3 to 5, 6 or so headlines that I've got in front of me here from thedailycaller.com, from thedailywire.com, and then there's more Fox News and elsewhere as well. But let's start with Panama. I'm not even going to try to sing the Van Halen song for you here, but anyway, Secretary of State Marco Rubio scores a big anti-China win during first foreign trip. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said this via X on February 1st at just before 10 p.m. Montana time. Arrived in Panama this evening on my first trip as Secretary of State. We're working days, nights, weekends, whatever it takes to strengthen our national security, protect our borders, and enhance economic prosperity for Americans. But here's the deal. He has already got a victory in hand thanks to President Donald J. Trump and his tough foreign policy stance and his tough stance on trade as well. That's a report from thedailycaller.com. Let me go back into my tweets here at x.com/AaronFlint because there's a tweet that sums it up very well here. That's why half of this stuff, some of you, if you follow me on X, you probably think I retweet too many things, but I kind of use it as show prep because, you know, it's so hard to find good, relevant information in the mainstream media. And so when you find it through platforms like X and platforms like Talk Radio, you gotta hold on to it because, you got to be able to share the good word with the good folks all across Montana. Where was the one on Panama? Maybe this was just maybe I didn't even get to tweet that one out. I think I did send out a Fox News update to some other friends. Oh, yeah, here we go. From FoxNews.com, Panama pledges to end key canal deal with China and basically work with President Trump and Secretary of State Marco Rubio. The other thing here is that they're basically now, you know, China was basically controlling both ends of the Panama Canal. Now, after the tough talk and the tough action from President Trump and Secretary of State Marco Rubio and their team, that those China deals are now set to go away. And apparently our U.S. Navy vessels that have to transit through the Panama Canal may not have to pay any fees anymore. You know, you would think the price that we pay and that they pay in defending, you know, Central America, Latin America, that whole region, and the fact that we basically built that canal in the first place, that would be a fee enough. And it sounds like that is in the works right now. So, boom, another huge victory by President Trump. This one's just kind of a fun one here. Have you guys ever, you know, gotten an email from somebody and they have their gender pronouns in their email signature block? Oh, my good. Oh, for Pete's sake, you're like, oh, great. This is going to be one of those people that you can't please them no matter what you do. They're always going to be offended. They're going to be pushing some agenda. If they've got major red flag, if they've got their gender pronouns in their email signature block, you're like, oh, great. Here we go. From thedailycaller.com. Federal bureaucrats have now been ordered to remove pronouns from email signatures. So let's just say them will not be happy about that. They really want to shove that garbage in your face at every step of the turn, and now they've been ordered not to do that. Let's see. Speaking of the federal bureaucracy, another DailyWire.com story here. Elon Musk is revealing how Doge is cutting billions of dollars in spending every single day. He shared a post from Doge, that's the Department of Government Efficiency that he's leading, showing a list of more than 100 DEI-related contract cancellations that resulted in more than $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion worth of savings. So think about this. $1 billion of your taxpayer funds, when we're already $36 trillion in debt, we're going to fund this woke DEI nonsense. And just like that, Doge is figuring out, there we go. Let's get rid of that $1 billion. He added this, which I thought was incredible here. He says, I am cautiously optimistic that we will reach the $4 billion a day FY 2026 reduction this weekend. He added in a second post, none of this would be possible without President Donald J. Trump. Look at that. You're just by going in and cutting out this so-called discretionary spending that the Biden regime was wasting. They're able to save $4 billion. He believes they're on track. $4 billion a day. Absolutely remarkable. Let me see. Oh, there's another one. There's several more here. Tom Holman has the numbers. I think we've got the audio. Maybe I'll save that one. Yeah, I'm looking at the clock here. We'll save that one for later on in the 7 or 8 o'clock hours. Yeah, Tom Holman talks about the dramatic decline in border crossings at our southern border and border crossing attempts. So we'll get to that later on in the morning. But here's one more I want to share with you. This is from the Daily Caller. Another huge victory by the Trump administration. 7 Americans set free as Trump administration concludes second week in power. Rick Grinnell was down there to help get our American hostages, that's what I'm going to call them, out of the socialist state of Venezuela. Anyway, but hey, you don't hear any LGBTQ activists highlighting him or that, do you?
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
A report going back from the Washington Times. A 2013 FAA document raised the issue in stark terms. How much of a change in job performance is acceptable to achieve diversity goals? You work as an air traffic controller. First of all, it's a hard job. I know people that do it. I know people that have done it. You better have the ability to multitask at a very, very high level. You better have fast decision-making qualities. That is not something the average person, is not a job for the average person. This is a job for somebody with a very, very specific set of skills that can manage and multitask many things at once and have a lot of balls in the air because there's a lot of planes in the sky.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day. Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell. It's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it. And I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With areas of light snow across the area today, accumulations from 2 to up to 4 inches expected around the region. High temperature readings will stay in the single digits above zero. For tonight, we'll see areas of light snow with another inch or so possible around the area. Low temperature readings will range around zero. Then we'll see more light snow showers Tuesday with additional accumulations expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
So there's more to this story about another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the jail in Bozeman, Montana. I started asking the question, how many people are in the jail in Bozeman on an immigration hold? There's a dozen of them. I got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, speaking of Bozeman, this is a must-see memorial in honor of fallen U.S. Marines is coming to Montana State University. Photos and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
As we begin the fifth week of the 2025 legislative session, things are beginning to heat up. Bills are now moving through the process at a steady pace, with some already being voted on in the second chamber. Legislators are still in good spirits, and this morning at 11 a.m. marks the beginning of the Ethics Committee hearing against former Senate President Jason Ellsworth of Hamilton, who is charged with misappropriating $170,000 of state money. At this point, there are several bills of particular interest to our members, one of which is Senate Bill 136, a bill to prohibit consent as a possible defense if a physician helps a patient commit suicide and is subsequently charged with homicide. The bill is just the latest attempt to clarify that physician-assisted suicide is illegal in Montana and remains defined as homicide for a physician or anyone else who helps another person to kill themselves. It arose from the 2009 case of Baxter versus Montana. Robert Baxter was a 76-year-old truck driver who was suffering from leukemia. He, along with four doctors, sued the state for the right to begin performing assisted suicide. This is part of the attempt by the group Compassion and Choices, formerly known as the Hemlock Society, to make assisted suicide legal in every state. Mr. Baxter won his case at the district court level, and the Montana Attorney General then appealed to the Montana Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Mr. Baxter as well in a poorly worded, very ambiguous decision. An analysis of the decision written for the Montana Family Foundation by one of Montana's top homicide attorneys said essentially this: that assisted suicide before Baxter was defined as homicide, and after Baxter, it was still defined as homicide. But if a doctor helped someone kill themselves and was later charged with homicide, then under a very narrow set of circumstances, they might be able to claim the consent of the victim as a defense. The problem is the court defined the list of acceptable circumstances so narrowly that they are, for all intent and purposes, unachievable. It didn't matter. The supporters of assisted suicide immediately issued a statement and said the practice was now legal in Montana. That, in turn, made Montana the Wild West of assisted suicide, with several doctors, by their own admission, distributing the necessary drugs under virtually no regulation, tracking, or oversight. This has resulted in bills both for and against assisted suicide being introduced in nearly every legislative session since 2011. The bill to ban assisted suicide this session is Senate Bill 136, sponsored by Senator Carl Glimm, and it had its first hearing in Senate Judiciary last week Thursday. Those in favor of the bill included Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juris, several physicians, the Montana Catholic Conference, and the Montana Family Foundation. Those opposed to the bill were a couple of doctors involved in the practice and a couple of attorneys, along with several seriously ill patients. The Montana Family Foundation stands opposed to assisted suicide for several reasons. First of all, we should not turn doctors or the healing profession into a profession that kills. The Hippocratic Oath taken by doctors for the past 2,000 years says, quote, "Neither will I administer a poison to anyone when asked to do so, nor will I suggest such a course," end quote. Montana already has one of the highest suicide rates in the nation. We should send a clear message to our children that suicide is wrong, period, paragraph. Palliative care now allows doctors to help those who are dying to do so with very little pain or discomfort. We should be clear. Terminal illnesses are incredibly sad for the patients and their families, but state-sponsored homicide is not the answer. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlocki reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, coming up after this, we'll get back to business with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And not only get your business headlines in, but I hear she had a great write-up talking about the left-wing anti-ICE protesters at the Metra in Billings. So we'll get her take on that as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What will tariffs do to the economy? You'll find people who answer that question with a shrug and others who will answer with a number. Perhaps the real answer is somewhere in between. But in the daily barrage of tariff details bandied about, one thing is certain, and that is the amount of uncertainty has increased markedly. In the boxing ring or playing a poker game, creating uncertainty might be a winning strategy. But for economic management, creating an environment for forward-looking investment, it's toxic. Even if tariffs never ultimately happen, and the odds of that are very low, the saber-rattling rhetoric has already done damage. Countries and companies everywhere are preparing for a trade war. They're directing resources into stockpiling imports and reviewing how they source their products throughout their supply chains. Countries are busy studying the best ways to retaliate. Those actions may be prudent, but collectively they're a deadweight loss. And these losses are occurring even if the sabers are never actually drawn. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.